Welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, day 101! Yay! Hello, Jonathan! It's too hot to eat, tell me about it. Do you know what we had? Ice cream. Lola's birthday ice cream. We did give her a bowl as well. Lucky, lucky Lola. Hello, Simon! How you doing? Hello, Kim! Is it as hot where you are? Hello, Mrs. Simon. It's evil here. There is no other word for it. It is evil. It is currently 29 degrees, which would be fine if anybody had air conditioning. Air conditioning in the UK is an open window. And when there's no breeze, it doesn't help. And when you are looking at a cupboard full of drives that are all whirring away quite happily, I should take a photo of that, shouldn't I? It's not good. What's worse, windows open, no breeze, might as well not bother. Had to turn the fan off because we're going live. Mike's next door in the studio doing his Excel thing. Both of us have got to have the door closed. I could well pass out. If it goes quiet, I've gone. Just saying. Low 70s with a breeze. Oh, I wish. What's 29 in English money? Then you can change that, can't you? Centigrade Fahrenheit. There you go, 84. It's all as bad as one another. We're very strange in the UK, which you've probably gathered. No, seriously, we are. We do weird things with weather. When it's cold, we say it's gone down to zero. Obviously, it's not. Not on the Fahrenheit scale, it's not. But when it's hot, then we give it out in Fahrenheit, we aim for 100 Fahrenheit. It's ridiculous. So nobody actually knows it. You just know it's warm, basically. That's how we are. You know it's warm. Currently 29 in Jonathan's flat. The actual temperature in here is probably warmer than that. That's the temperature outside. Give me 1 second. I'm going to get Izzy the panda. Right, I've got him. He was hung up by the door, so it's a bit cooler where he is. Let's have a look. What does Izzy say? Oh, Izzy says 36, which is heading to 90. Izzy's probably right. Oh, do you know that used to be white? It's kind of... I really must take a picture of Izzy. You've not seen Izzy, have you? That's Izzy from Israel. He's my thermometer. Could well pass out this year. Mind you, the hottest it ever was in here was about 48, which is about 120 Fahrenheit. And it was one summer when I was doing a webinar for somebody and they insisted that the window was closed. So with all of the equipment on, oh, Mike and I nearly passed out. 120 it was. Cooler than this time last year. Is it? Don't remember that at all. It's horrible, Kim. Oh, the UK is not cut out for this weather. We have central heating. It's fabulous in December. We do not have any kind of air conditioning beyond a desk fan, which currently is on the floor. Actually, it's fallen over. Right, there we go. That's a bit better. It's on the floor, pointing at my feet. To make matters even worse, I can hear something and I'm thinking, what's that? It's like somebody talking, but it's not Mike. I've just realised he's been watching the first half of the Manchester United match. He's thrilled with progress, 2-0 the last time I looked. But he's left his TV turned on. So I can hear it through his headphones, so I'm about to nuke that. Don't know if he's recording it or what, because he then had to go and do a webinar. So I've seen him happier, let's put it like that. However, in the realms of... incredibly disappointed and potentially peed off. I am. Have you seen what they've done to Notion? It's disgusting. I have attempted to complain. I'm being ignored. Oh dear, what's going on with this? Can we just shut you up? I've got no float over on there to mute him. Hang on. Mute. Everything but mute. Oh, audio might be under there. Mute. There we go. Right. Now I'm not being bothered by the commentary on his football that he isn't even here watching because he's next door. What happened in Notion? Oh, my heart's broken. I was working late last night. It was probably after close of business in the States. So something like 2 o'clock, 2:30, something like that. So about 6 p.m. in the States, on the West Coast anyway. And weird things were happening. Things were disappearing as I'm trying to type. So I thought, something's amiss here. And things started, then different things started appearing. So I thought, they're obviously in the middle of some kind of update. So I thought, I'm sure it'll all iron itself out by the morning. Sadly, it did. So I looks at Notion on my iPad. And on my iPad, I've got weird spaces where I should have icons and text. And I've got weird symbols that I shouldn't be seeing at all, which I am. So I toddles in, has a look at the computer, even weirder on there. So I've actually put some screenshots in Slack if you want to have a look at them. But basically what they've done is if you didn't know up to now, you can italicise and you can bold text, but you can't underline. It was just some weirdness in there. You can't underline. But when you add a link, obviously that gets underlined. So for instance, if we think about that weekly agenda of mine, which has dates at the top, the dates have an icon and they're underlined, and the underline is in the colour of the text. So I have different colours for different days. Everything works fine. What they've managed to do right now is the underline. You can underline text now, which you couldn't before. And that is like a dark underline underneath the text. In fact, let's have a look at that. Is it the right colour? Or is it just some random colour? Let's have a look. Yeah, the underline is very, very close to the text, and it's the same colour as the text, which is exactly what I would expect. But to indicate to you that something is then a link rather than just underlined, they've changed the style of the underline from previous to a very thin grey line. So it's not the same colour as the text, which is a little bit annoying. But I could live with that. It's not that bad. It's just a little bit annoying. Next to that, when it's a link to an internal Notion page, you have an icon, the icon of the page. And obviously that helps me identify whether it's an After Hours or a Marooned or a MacBytes or a video project or anything like that. The icons have vanished, but there's a gap where they were. But worse than that, as far as I'm concerned, they've got this pug ugly arrow pointing to the right, like upwards and to the right, to indicate it's a link now. Why? It's supposed to be an inline link. They had those arrows previously, but to see them, you had to copy the text and paste it in, and then it said, do you want to make a link? And you said yes. And it made this big chunky link with an arrow on it. But there was a secondary way to make a link, which was to use an at reference. So you would put at, and then I would put day 101, and it would fill it in with marooned at MacBytes headquarters, day 101. Now everything is moved to accommodate this pug ugly arrow that I don't need nor want, and my icons are missing. In certain browsers, they're not missing, but I still have the ugly arrows. But in the Notion app, it's just hideous. Go and have a look at Slack and you'll understand exactly what I mean. So I've asked a question. I was very civil. Wasn't feeling very civil. I'm too hot for a start. So don't mess with my Notion when I'm too hot. A really bad day to do that. The only thing that could make it worse would be lady time. So I've asked them the question. Obviously, they're usually working American time, and it's now 7:10 here and I have heard nothing. In the meanwhile, everybody else is saying, oh, how fabulous, can now underline text, it's marvellous. And I'm thinking, have you thought this through? Have you looked at every page you've got? Because by adding the ability to underline, you've broken two other things, just saying. So my weekly agenda in the Notion app is hideous. All my icons are missing. So today I've been really slowed down because I've looked at it and I'm just like, blah, it's all moving in front of me, blah. So I'm not enjoying that, not enjoying that at all. I can only hope that they come to their collective senses and the icons come back. But even then, if the icons come back, they're going to have those horrible arrows at the front. If you've changed the underline to make the underline subtle, I mean, you can see from those images on Slack, the links didn't used to be underlined. I could live with them underlined, but it should be my choice, really. But the arrow, that means there's two ways of linking to a page, but both of them give you a dirty great big arrow. So why are there two ways? It's a half-cocked at best, and that's being kind. And I'm not really in a very forgiving mood. You might be able to tell. This is impacting my productivity, so I'm not a happy bunny. Honestly, things like that, I don't think developers appreciate how the look of something like that could totally put you off using it. I'm literally at the point I can't really look at that today. It's annoying me to that degree. And I do say to them, you know, when they do something that's a really tiny thing, but it makes it look better, then I'm like, oh, that's fantastic. Thank you very much. They need to think carefully when they do stuff like that, because it totally changes the look of an entire page. So Kim says, wait, did you have to upload the new version? No. What's happening to me is inside the Notion app on the Mac, I have broken links. I have no icons. I've got the new underline and I've got the new arrows, but I didn't update anything. They come in as a stealth update. So if you have a page open in a browser, it may well still be displaying the old way, but you can't really stop it updating to the new way. So the thing that's annoying me most, I think, and I'm pretty grumpy about all of it, is just the arrows. The arrows are just like, could you make them smaller? Because the whole point was these were in line. And now they don't look in line. I mean, they are, but they've got this dirty great big arrow on them. So no, I didn't have to update to any new version. What's happening in the browsers is different things. So in Vivaldi, any new page that I open is displaying the new way, but pages I already had open are displaying the old way. The Notion app's completely knackered. I've tried Firefox and I've tried Chrome, and I've got some that have got icons and some that haven't got icons. And one browser is treating the custom icons on the dates in one way and the tiny custom icons somewhere else in a different way. So I've asked the question of them. I'm waiting to hear. In the meanwhile, grumpy. Now I know how Lola felt. Grumpy. Let's just say I'm grumpy. So Kim says, my online version still has my old icons and I'm on Firefox. Do you have an underline underneath the text? And is there an arrow pointing upwards and to the right? If you do, then that's the new look of it. And then depending on how you've actually put your pages together, that may look more or less offensive. I just don't like the big arrows. So I would be still moaning about the big arrows, but the fact that in the Notion app it's broken is even worse, because I've got no icons in there at all. Just got big, ugly arrows. Not pleased. Not pleased. Let's see what I've got in Firefox. I did have a page open in Firefox before I lost the will to live with it. I'm in the middle, obviously, of trying to sort out for Friday night, and it slows me down. And anything that slows me down, not going to be a happy bunny. Not a happy bunny. Plus the fact I've developed all these pages. God, it's slow loading in here. Yes, go on. Right, so let me have a look in a database. Right, in a database, if I'm looking at a database, no difference at all. If I go up a page, so I've got the database and notes about the database, no difference at all. So where you're really going to see this is on a page like the weekly agenda. Let's have a look at the weekly agenda for this week. Come on. Oh, it's so slow. Maybe they're doing maintenance. Right. In Firefox, I have all the icons I should have, and I have these hideous arrows. So I guess what's left for me to moan about is the hideous arrows. But in the Notion app, the whole thing's broken. And I don't really know why it would be different, because the Notion app is just a wrapper. So it's broken in Notion, basically. So we'll see what happens. But I don't like things changing without prior. Yeah, you see, Kim, you do have the latest then. But those arrows in line, you know, I've written scripts and stuff like that and text, and it says like in after hours, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm going to have these arrows all the way through the text. The whole point was they are still calling them inline links. But if you were to take some text underneath one of those links, so literally just grab hold of some text and underline it. Even this is running so slow. God, it won't even let me select the text. Right. No, now it's deselecting. This is worse than unusable at the minute. Stay. Right, you have an underline as an option. When you click the under... I'm not getting an underline. It didn't underline it. Come on, we can do this. Go on. Go on. Right, when you underline it, the underline is very close to the text. The underline of a link is a much lighter colour and about 5 pixels down. You do not need the arrows, but you can't turn them off. Please smack them harder to fix it. Trust me, I was very, very polite. I was terribly British when I got on with the first one. But if they diss me or don't get back to me, then they'll get my level 2. Trust me, they do not want to see my level 3. I'm grumpy. I'm already grumpy with Apple. I do not need to be grumpy with Notion. I reckon looking at it, we would get used to it again. But the thing is, what's peeving me is in my weekly layout, my weekly agenda, pretend you're from the US. In my weekly agenda, I've got like multiple lines and every line is starting with an arrow and it's just not needed. It's not needed. If there is something like that, then make it an option. I mean, we looked at Rome a while back and Rome's very unique. Could it replace Notion? Well, for some people, it has. To be honest, for me, no. There's too much that Notion does in tables and stuff. But I do love Rome for making linked notes. And they've added the ability to style your particular install of Rome with CSS. So you can have it looking however you want. That's so cool. And yet in Notion, I'm having arrows foisted upon me that I don't like. So maybe we could do something about that. But everybody else that I've seen seems to be incredibly positive. You can now underline text. I couldn't give a flying fig about underlying text. Mike said, oh, underline, quite like that. And I'm like, heathen, heathen. You don't need that. You can tell it's a link. Whether they'll change their mind, who knows? But that was today's debacle. Oh, what else happened today? Apart from that, which was bad enough, trust me on that. Oh, I got a link that I'm about to put in for Paul. And according to this article, it says no virtualization with Parallels and Fusion. Not unless Parallels and Fusion completely rewrite their architecture to take advantage of the new chip. Rosetta will not work with Parallels or Fusion. The comments on the piece that I've read about that are saying this sucks, there's no way out, the apps I need to be rewritten, blah, blah, blah. These apps don't even exist on the Mac, so I can't not use Windows, which is the finance apps mainly. Blah, blah, blah. And then people are saying I'm going to go and buy an Intel Mac just for the sake of running Parallels on it. Bit extreme, maybe. Or get a PC. Mike and I have had this discussion. I'll put the link in so you can have a look at it, this piece. I'll also put it into Slack because Paul and I were discussing it. Let's have a look on here. So Debbie's saying in here, I'm not noticing a difference with mine, at least not on my Life in a Nutshell homepage. See a slight underline under the text. Nothing so far has come up asking me to close and see new notes. And we'll have a look at that down the line. Right, let's get back in here so I can give you the link to have a look at. Oh, Paul's heard something different. Hello, Paul. I'll put the link in. That's the link that I've read. I think what will happen is Fusion and Parallels, you know, they lose their business, don't they, if they don't update. So they'll probably rewrite the whole thing. What that means in terms of cost, no idea. If it's an update to Parallels, then I'm subscribed to Parallels. Parallels is a subscription. So there shouldn't be any increase. Well, there might be a slight increase, but not like you would have to particularly rebuy it and there'd be a huge investment required at that point. I don't know. Don't know. I don't think we're going to know. Half of me thinks I need to go and get a PC. We'd already discussed it in relation to broadcasting. The other half of me thinks, you know, leave it and see how it pans out. But my thinking is, like I said, about doing videos that instantly, you know, within weeks, look dated, seriously dated. Whereas on Windows, they would not look dated. So this changing of the interface. The other thing is the interface, the new interface for Big Sur, which is a stupid name. Thinking of calling it Big Z. Anyway, it looks so much like an iPad, which concerns me in terms of controllability. That customization that you can do to get rid of icons and stuff like that. So will Bartender be able to hook into that and do things with it or not? And the fact that you can't just, I mean, you can probably go on D&D, but the fact that you can't nuke the notifications, that isn't going to work for me when I'm doing a video. Simple as that. So we'll just have to see how it goes. Oh, it does annoy me. So Anthony says, I can see a situation where you end up not having access to all the features of an app, depending on if you're using Intel or a new chip. Totally, Anthony. The last time this happened, I was on the right side of it, per se, which means I had an Intel Mac. But I kept a distinct eye on it with the power PC, because I wanted to know that week's difference between me buying mine and Mikey B buying his. It turned into like 3 years. Stuff stopped working for him well before it stopped working for me on that Mac. It was criminal. So not good. So they had Parallels running on an A12 Mac in State of the Union. Leo Laporte stated they didn't mention Windows due to contraction reasons. I don't think it will run as is. I think they're going to need a complete rewrite of Fusion and Parallels. Because if it's going to have to run interpreted, it's going to impact the performance to such a degree you might as well not use it. And when you think we're 14 years on and from when they moved to Intel, and still companies like QuickBooks, don't really have a proper solution for it. It looks like they're changing the icon to half black and white. Which what icon are we talking about now? Where are we now, Kim? I think a lot of the bad feeling is about the fact that they're not actually being open about it. They specifically mention one thing. They specifically didn't mention another. I don't see how licensing and contracts get involved with just mentioning a third-party app allows you to do X. Maybe the lawyers have got it sewn up, but I don't see that as prohibiting them saying anything. I mean, there was a time when they just wouldn't mention it because they were just being pig awkward. I don't think they're at that point now, and it was noticeable they were talking about their friends from Microsoft. So I don't know. I really don't know. My Slack photo of Apple chips. All right, let's have a look at that one. Slack. Right, let's have a look at that one. Where are you going now? Are you going to open that, are you? This poor machine, the fans are going constantly on it. No idea. Could that be an icon for the chip? I have no idea what they're doing. But it's just the fact we're in that state of flux again. And it's a bad time for people, because unlike Timmy, who can go out and buy 3 million at max and have change, most people have got a decision to make whether they buy the last Intel version or wait for whenever Apple bring out the machine they want with the processor they want. that same logo was on the emojis for the WWDC. Then maybe they've changed it. Maybe that's that. Maybe they've gone that way with it, so it's nice and flat. Would Microsoft be able to build compatibility into Windows? Probably, Anthony, because they Windows already does run on some ARM chips. But obviously, with it, we're not just changing from Intel to ARM. CQ, Deb, CQ. We are changing from standard chips to Apple-only chips. So heaven knows. But there are still things that, you know, run on Windows that you might want access to. That would make a huge difference for Mike with Excel, because although obviously there's an Excel version for Mac, all of the stuff he's doing in BI and Power Pivot and all of that tends to be Windows only. Kim says, question for how well, for me, is how well their chips will work. Probably be better with the secondary vision, but you know, as again, as a user, that leaves you. You've got this period of uncertainty between WWDC and the first ARM Mac shipping. Then you've got that period of the first ARM chip being available up to the last piece of hardware switching to ARM, where you've no idea what you're doing. And then you're pretty much knackered. It's terrible. It is terrible. I know they'll say in the end, I mean, do we really see that much difference now between Intel and the PowerPC? Not anymore. Not once they stopped selling the PowerPC and about 5-6 years had gone by. But Apple just seemed to constantly have us living in a state of flux. If you think about it, from 2006 to about 2011, I think 5 to 6 years, so 2011, 2012, it would have been people could have had a PowerPC and then they're going to have to retire it after 6 years. But in the meantime, they ripped the guts out of Final Cut Pro. So then all the video editors were in flux. They didn't know what to do. Do they go to Premiere? If you go to Premiere, do you go back to Final Cut when it's fixed? And it took about 5 years to get back to where it was. And you've got workflows and you've got assets. And all of that impacts your productivity. No matter what they say, that impacts your productivity. Never mind the cost involved of doing it. They're doing it maybe, they would always say they're doing it for the greater good. And we'll find out what the greater good is, you know, in due course. But people aren't trying to make a living 5 years from now. They're trying to make a living now. And if that means it's easier to switch to a PC, people will switch to a PC. It's as simple as that. Because they have to. Not because they want to, but because they have to. Obviously, that's a bit different now because the last time they did this and ripped the guts out of it, there was no iPads to think about. There was no iPhones to think about. There was no Apple Watches to think about. So really what they've done, they've taken 14 years to lock you down on other devices and platforms and now rip the rug out from under you. So like Paul says, it makes my purchasing decisions much more difficult. I totally understand that. I totally feel for you. It's this month, our machines are 3 years old. I now no longer have AppleCare on any Mac in the house. Oh, I do. My laptop. My 2018 MacBook Air. But that would really be like a backup device. You know, I would not be leaving that. If something happened to my main Mac, that's the machine I would turn to. But I wouldn't leave it at that. I would have to then contemplate a Mac. And I mean, if Paul's making a decision in the autumn, that's pretty much, I would wait until I see. I mean, we were all thinking, weren't we, because the rumours were rife with it, that we would be seeing this. We would know where they were going with their iMac hardware at WWDC. And that's not true. So the next event will be probably around September the 11th-ish. In fact, that's a Friday. So it could, and it's probably Labour Day on the Monday. So possibly the 14th of September, we'll have another event. And maybe they'll give us an idea which hardware is going to get updated first. But it's still only a maybe. Now, in the meanwhile, if something happens to this Mac, what do I do? If my video production was in Premiere, it wouldn't matter. I just switched machines. Now, as it happens, the majority of my video production, and I do mean video production, I'll explain why in a minute, is in Camtasia, and Camtasia is cross-platform. That was what that cross-platformness did impact our decision to switch 2 years ago. So 2 years ago, we were thinking, would definitely be a benefit to be using something and having assets in something and being familiar with something to the peak of productivity that was cross-platform. So that was the decision that we took. But you know, I was fighting manfully with Camtasia last week. It was not behaving at all. I worked around it. I stripped everything back and had a look at what could possibly be causing all of the issues. And I took a totally different approach with the video that we were working on for 3 weeks. So I'll show it you on Friday and I'll show you what I did. But in essence, what I did required relying on a Mac app. Now, it's a Mac app that I could actually run on an iPad, but that's not the point. And I'm looking around the office and I'm thinking, you know, do you really want to try and squeeze a PC in here as well? And the answer's no, I don't want to. But I really do feel I may be forced into that. I agree with you, Kim. Greater good for their pockets. I've always felt that. When they ripped the guts out of Final Cut, I thought, you know what? You could have waited. You could have developed this at the same time, in parallel. Don't release it, maybe. Or even release it if you want. But if you release it, run it in parallel with the older version and keep updating the older version for at least 2 years to give people time to switch. Sometimes they rip the guts out of something and there's no way back. And that is even more terrifying. So, I mean, I don't think they would do this with Final Cut. Might do it with Logic, don't know. But where's the Pro Photo solution? And don't say photos because it's laughable. There was Aperture and it was amazing. The books, the organisation, the lot. And they just binned it. That's terrifying. And then they actually recommend you go use Lightroom. Would this be the same app you've been saying for the last 8 years not to touch? That one. And yes was the answer to that. It is. It, although they took a hit initially, it did mean when that version of Final Cut came out, you either made a decision you bought it or you didn't buy it. And if you didn't buy it, then you would have to move to something else. And the something else would either cost you in hardware to move to Windows if that was the way you wanted to go, or cost you time trying to get up to speed in something that's just not there. And it is better for their pockets. People think, well, I've got a job to do. I'm just going to have to buy a computer. And you do. You just buy another one. I've done that. Many years ago, I had it was my second Mac, and it had a fault. But the thing was, it was intermittent. That is a nightmare. If you can't take it in, I've taken devices into Apple. Right, one exploded. So the first Mac I ever had went to Mike, and it was within the first year. So it was probably about February, March time. And we went downstairs on a Sunday night to watch 24. It was the only TV programme in all the years we've been together that we actually sat and watched. So we actually left our computers and we went downstairs and we put the TV on. It wasn't our TV, it was my mum's, but that's not the point. We put the TV on. So we're watching 24 and all of a sudden there was this bang. And Mike said, was that on the TV? And I said, I don't think so. So we're looking round and I went... I said, I think the computer's on fire. So we had to dash upstairs and it had blown. So when we took that one in, he said, what's the fault with it? I said, it's dead. So he said, okay, how are we defining dead? And I said, massive bang, smoke coming out the back. He went, that's probably dead. When it's dead like that, that's actually in your favour. You think to yourself, that's going to be a hideous repair. You know, it's dead. There's smoke coming out the back. But actually, at least you can relax because you take it in and they go, oh, it's dead, is it? Right, let me just turn it on. Oh, it's dead. And you think, good, now go and fix it. But I've also had to take things in where I've taken it in and I've said it's an intermittent fault. But here's the screenshots and this is when it happens. And if you do this and you do that, and I knew what would happen and it did. Gets a phone call, nothing wrong with it. There is. You know, and they don't test it. They stick it there and they run some diagnostics on it and it passes. Yeah, but, you know, in its defence, a 286 would pass your diagnostics. Now try running a video on it. And they don't. They just run the diagnostics on it and that's that. I ended up with this machine back home. Then I takes it back again, intermittent fault. I put all the stuff in. They say they've replaced this bit and that bit and the other bit. It comes back here. I look at it. I said, it's not right. And you just know when it's your machine, you just know. So I said, right, I'm going to push it. I'll run my diagnostics on it. Never mind Apple's diagnostics. I'll run my diagnostics on it. So I opened up the ITV app. I opened up VLC. I opened up the DVD. And I had about 20 videos running on the screen. It lasted 20 minutes. Then it went. And I thought, like I said, there's something wrong with it. Because it should be able to handle that. So back it went. In a way, it's actually better if it's actually broken. Then they might fix it. But stuff like aperture just vanishing. Like, I know photographers who switched to a Mac for aperture. They bought the hardware, they bought the software, they bought into the whole thing. They were disgusted when that happened. And this went straight back to a PC. But Apple clearly don't care because they've got their watches and their iPads and their phones. Although I must admit my Android friends have not stopped laughing about the way that they lauded widgets. I am still hearing all about that. Oh, bless. 10 years on, you've got some widgets. What can you say? Yes. No, I'm not overly bothered myself. You feel such a twit. Because they've spent 8 years telling you that you don't need widgets and now we've got widgets. It is disgusting. Right, so Paul says, planning on an iPad Pro 12.9 and a 16-inch MacBook Pro, but it's the Mac that's in question. You're absolutely fine with your iPad, aren't you? If a new one comes out, which it probably won't this autumn, will it? It'll probably be either next spring at the earliest, but probably the autumn. So you probably get a year out of that being a brand new thing and there's no issue with that at all. But the Mac, I agree with you. They've only just brought out the other one. They've only just tweaked that one. I think that would be the last one that they upgrade. Having said that, they've got more experience of this chip on mobile, so maybe that would be one of the first. I don't know. But what's your thinking, Paul, in terms of if there is a new MacBook Pro, would you... And it's an ARM MacBook Pro. Would you buy that one for longevity or would you be thinking performance-wise I'm going to buy the old one and then upgrade it in 3 years? Let's have a look. What about the Intel Macs that are still to come this year? Tim mentioned it. My thinking on that was, Paul, that they're the iMac. I just instinctively assumed they were the iMac because clearly the Mini has already got Apple Silicon in it. So it's not a big step for that one. The MacBooks, I mean, Jonathan got a new one, didn't he? And that wasn't that long ago, 6-7 weeks ago. I think the new ones that are Intel will be iMacs, and that's my worst nightmare. You'd have to, if you were in a position to need it to get work done, you'd have no choice. You'd have to buy an Intel one and then attempt... I would say part exchange it, but the prices are laughable, or sell it on privately. I hate doing that. I absolutely loathe doing that. I always seem to find some imbecile. The other thing is you will not get the same. If the new version that came out that you wanted it, so you buy the next one and the one after that comes out and you want it, you will not get the same amount of money for it if the one that you're switching to then is an ARM one and the one that you've got is an Intel. It just won't hold its value. So you're hoping, Paul. You're hoping. I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, they're talking about 2 years. Which would be the last one to move? The Mac Pro? I'm not seeing that. I'm not. Because the developers are buying those. That room, the bunker, the secret bunker, was riddled with them. It was full of them. So they're probably already running Apple Silicon. So again, I don't see that taking 2 years. It's the 2 years thing that's the problem, isn't it? How would we feel if they'd said, by the end of this year, everything will be ARM? Would that make you happier? Would you be more certain about what you would be buying? Or would you still have a problem thinking maybe the last Intel version would be a better bet for at least 2 years? Because what I'm thinking is, I don't want to have this kind of vast chasm of time where it's sort of running Windows, but not very well, or it's not running Windows at all. I literally go into Windows maybe once a week, maybe on an average week. But I must admit, this week I've got a demo and I needed to go into PowerPoint, and I needed to know the differences between PowerPoint for Mac and PowerPoint for Windows. And I don't have a workable Windows box other than the VM. I went through a phase of having a VM. Then I went through a phase of having a physical PC. It was a laptop, an Asus laptop. I think it had a 17-inch screen, and it was great. Every port known to man weighed about 9 stone, weighed more than a dog. But that stopped working, so then I went back to a VM. But just for those odd little things, that is an issue. That is an issue. Right, so let's have a look here. You probably go for the ARM-based MacBook Pro, end of 2021. Oh, Kim, you're not wrong. They'll have a good vaccine for COVID before they get the ARM thing figured out. The Acer laptops are fabulous doorstop. It's brilliant. We bought one each. It was a fantastic deal. It was a Black Friday deal we did at John Lewis. And Mike was getting one. It was before, long before he got his Surface, probably 4 or 5 years ago now. And he was going in to buy one, but it was something like we'd got a voucher off. So it was already on sale. Then there was a special Black Friday sale. Then there was this voucher that we had. I think it ended up being, it's a pretty good machine at that. I think it had 16 gig of RAM. I don't think it was an SSD, but don't quote me. And like I say, it had every port known to mankind, 17-inch screen. It was an amazing machine. I think it was about £350. Would have been rude not to. It was that amount of money. So literally, he'd got his. And I don't know if you know anything about John Lewis in the UK, but it's a department store. So I'm thinking along the lines of Macy's. But it's incredibly upmarket. It's not quite Harrods, but it's not far off. They think they're Harrods. And I had no idea because I'd never ordered anything like this. But we'd actually walked into the store. So you assume when you go to the checkout, you buy it and you walk out with it. No, you get a little chitty and you have to go to the collections department. It's like going to Grace Brothers in the 70s. No joke. I said to Mike, so they don't have them. He said, yeah, you got to go to the collections department. I thought, this is like IKEA. It was really weird. So we'd sorted his out and he was waiting for his confirmation. When he said, do you want one? I said, you know, it'd be rude not to. So we took one, which was how come I ended up with an Android tablet. That also would have been incredibly rude not to. This was about the same time. It was a 10-inch. Was that an Asus? I think it could have been. It's a 10-inch Android tablet. Really good spec. It retailed for about £350 and it was on offer in his Black Friday sale, and I'd got this 20% voucher, and it came free. With it came free access to Google Drive for 12 months, which in turn was worth £80. So you could basically knock the £80 off it. The entire tablet was £95. So basically I paid £15 for the hardware. That's how come I ended up with it. Which shop is doing this collection system? John Lewis, Simon. It is like Grace Brothers. You go in, you buy it, you've got all the swipe this and do your contactless payment. So everything looks normal until they then give you like a bingo card thing, a raffle ticket, and send you off to collections, which is completely, I mean, this isn't somewhere you can walk to. You know, from where we were, we said, well, where is it? And he said, we go out the front door and then you turn right. You go right down to the bottom of the building and then you turn right again. You go right down to the bottom of that building and it's on the corner. I said to Mike, that's about 3/4 of a mile away. So we got in the car and drove over there and picked up our two laptops. And actually, we went back to John Lewis and went through the entire performance again when Mike got his Surface. In fact, that was even worse. We had to go back the next day to pick that up. Honestly, it is ridiculous the way they go on. But that's just the way that they do it. And I will say they do give you that free three-year guarantee, which is definitely worth having. So that's why we went back there again. We did ring up for that one and they said they had them in that. But when we got there, I don't think it was the right model. So it was all bought and paid for and ordered on the computer system in the computer department. And then you get your paperwork and you turn up at collections the next day. Honestly, it's like going back to the 60s. In fact, it's worse than that. It's like the 50s. My mum used to tell me things about shops like that, where you went and collected stuff. But definitely worth it, price-wise. You have a 13-year-old HP laptop and it still works. God, those were the days, weren't they? My first laptop was 1999. I did have an Amstrad word processor thing before then, but true laptop, 1999. From Time Computers, and it was brilliant. It was a 12-inch, lasted years. Then I got another one, and that one was a tablet drawing thing. It was a laptop, but the screen, it was an Acer, that. The screen flipped round and then hooked back in, and then you wrote on it. So it was great in OneNote. That was fantastic. What did I get after that? I think that was it, till I got another Windows one. No, I don't think I did. I don't think I got another laptop till 2006 when I got my MacBook Pro. 17-inch MacBook Pro. Absolutely perfect laptop, apart from the weight. And I went from that, sublime to the ridiculous, a 2012 MacBook Air, which still actually sits here. The 2018 was purchased because I couldn't expect the 2012 to last any longer. But the weekend, about 2 weeks ago, when I was fiddling around with those boot discs, I thought, oh, I can't be bothered getting all of the dongles and stuff out. I'll just use the 2012. And I picked it up, plugged it in and used that. And for jobs like that, it's absolutely fine. In fact, it's now it's heading to 9 years old. It's actually irrelevant. It works really well. I wouldn't fancy doing video editing on it, put it like that. But, you know, the rest of the stuff, it's still working grand. They have made it incredibly difficult with all of this, and the stuff that's coming out as well in terms of the software makes it a little bit more of a niggle to me. I'm looking at macOS, and Mac Jim mentioned this in Slack. They will merge them one day. And I've just replied to him and said, of course they will. And for Timmy to be saying that they're not is, I said disingenuous, but basically lying. Because you look at it now, and Big Sur, it looks like an iPad. And they've added the ability to use a tablet, to use a keyboard and mouse on the iPad. So where's the touchscreen Mac? Because the interface now looks like a touchscreen. I did see a video of somebody who'd got, they must have had the Mac Pro. And they also bought that monitor, the X something monitor. And the stand to put it on. But they didn't go straight to the stand to put it on. They put it on an articulated arm first. But then decided they were swapping it, the monitor. So they decided they would get the stand, the $1,000 stand. And said it was absolutely fabulous. It wasn't worth $1,000. But it was a really, really good stand. When you're looking at it, the articulation that's in the neck of it, it wouldn't be a million miles from what I think we'll see in terms of, I can imagine a Mac that works like the Surface Studio. I think we'll have to wait for it because Apple never do anything quick, do they? But I think the day will come. So why keep denying it? They will look very similar, but probably still work differently. I hope they do. But what concerns me is I think with an iPad, you accept its form factor, you accept its limitations, you try and work around them where you can, but ultimately you say to yourself, it's an iPad. But on a computer, people's needs, if you need a computer rather than an iPad, because I think we are at the stage, if you're in two minds, I mean, a lot of my friends have got computers. They are probably old Windows machines. But we're at the point, like Mike's mum. Mike's mum had a problem that her computer died about 5-6 weeks ago. So Mike said, don't worry about it. I've got a spare. I'll get it to you. And we set this machine up for her, and it was a laptop. And I said to him, it's her birthday soon. Why don't we just buy her an iPad? And we sat and thought, you know, what does she do with it? She does Zoom meetings. She does email. She does her photos with it. It could all be done on an iPad, and she'd probably find it a lot easier. Whereas my computer needs and Mike's computer needs, they're different. I'm not going to say they're more demanding. I mean, they probably are more demanding. But the bit that concerns me is the control that I will have over my computer. Already, if I turn notifications off, Apple notifications still come through. It's infuriating. So if you can imagine, I'm sat there doing a demo and I have turned off my notifications. I have turned off everything I can turn off, but I can't turn off the internet because I need that in the demo. So I'm recording my screen and all of a sudden I get a notification pops up bang in the middle of the screen, despite the fact notifications are turned off, to say something like, your Mac ID, your Apple ID is being used on a new piece of kit. It's not. What's happened is an iPad has run down and I have put it on charge. And about an hour and a half later, when it's fully charged, it decides unilaterally to tell me that my Apple ID is in use on a new device. It's not. It didn't even ask me to log in. So it's not. It's not a new device. I didn't log into it. What's happened is the device has been turned off. I've plugged it in. Now it's fully charged. It starts sending pings back to the mothership. And the mothership tells me. The air at that point is more than blue, I can tell you, because I have to stop my demo. The biggest issue is not moving the mouse pointer. Don't move the mouse pointer, because you're going to have to marry it up with the bit before the thing appeared on the screen. But what's your first instinct? To move the mouse and click OK. And then you'll never get the mouse pointer back exactly where it was. And then that gives you a hideous manual edit. You can easily get the bit out where the message was displayed, but there's kind of a jump in where the mouse pointer is. That's happened so many times. So when I saw that interface and they said, you know, the notification center's gone, my first thought was, what degree of control do I have over anything that could interrupt me? And it's not looking good so far. I would say with every version, Tiger was fabulous. Snow Leopard was the high point as far as I was concerned. Everything just worked. Everything after that was tinkering with it. But my concern is things like that. If I have my notifications turned off, I don't want that. Another thing might be, and this obviously is your own fault up to a point, but if you're trying to log into a device or do something and it needs two-factor, that'll come up on the screen as well. Despite the fact one particular Mac has notifications disabled. That to me means all of them. Not all of them, except Apple. All of them. Because there could be a reason that you've done that. But Apple have their own way. That's where we're at. I think Mike had a Toshiba, Anthony. Yes, I think he did. I think he got it from PC World. My stalking you video watching. You just watched that video. Probably it said to me, you watch this, you might want to watch this. So I watched it. So that would be what it is, Paul. That one was interesting because the stand looks so un-Apple-like. That stand looks very industrial. It doesn't look like a piece of art. And I think if Johnny had have done it, it would have looked better. It looks very industrial. I mean, I'm not a great fan of how the Mac Pro looks. The old one was beautiful. The one that you have hidden, Paul, that one. That was just gorgeous. This new one looks I'm just not a fan. Don't like it. Don't like it. Oh, the first laptop with Resume. No, I didn't have that one. I definitely didn't have that one. But I shall have a look at it. Do you know, everything's running slow today. This is because the fan's on the machine, because it's upset with me. That's before we start. The dog was upset with me before I hand-fed her water. So she's up here. We've brought the industrial fan up. It's about 2 foot wide. And it's fantastic. I can't turn it on. Actually, I'll turn it on and you tell me, can you hear it? I'm imagining you can hear that. Let me know. Oh, it's fabulous. Oh, it is amazing. But the dog decides, oh, that looks rather nice, and she flops in front of it. So all her fur's blowing in the wind. But she wasn't drinking. So we tried her bowl. No, she wasn't prepared to lift her head up to do that. So what I did was I put water, cupped my hands and poured water in it, and she had it from a prone position. Bless her. So about 3 handfuls of water. Yes, I thought you might be able to hear it. Not going to get away with that one, am I? It really is industrial. Seriously industrial. I have no idea what I'm going to do when it breaks. This machine, I think, is on the brink. Nothing's running very well. It's overheating. I don't have one of those things that tells you the temperature. But to be honest, it probably wouldn't go up that high anyway. We'll see how it goes. I'm looking at that Toshiba and I do remember those. I never had one that looked like that. Keyboard looks great though, doesn't it? Whoa, that's a nice keyboard. But I do remember seeing them at work, and I think Mike brought one home when he was at his first training company. I think they had one. But he also had one that looked like that when it was open, but it was much bigger than that. And if you can imagine flopping that front down, it had a handle on the top, but it was huge. It was like a suitcase. Yeah, the temperature's gone up to 94. So, yeah, it's a bit warm in here. Oh, and I think I've got all the slots filled for Friday. Or I did have. And then I put them into Notion, and now Notion's not showing me icons, and now I'm grumpy. But I think it's all filled for Friday. But if you think of anything, let me know anyway. The game's over. United won 3-0. He's going to be a happy boy when he comes back in. I suppose I should actually record the second half for him, shouldn't I? That would probably be a good idea so he can watch it. But he's pretty happy as long as he's seen the goals. So I'm suspecting he will be aware of the score. He took an iPad in with him. But he won't have actually seen the whole of the second half. You saw my tweet. Was this the grumpy tweet, Paul? That was my polite attempt, that one was. I was fairly polite at that point, but I am very grumpy with it. Because it does impact your workflow. You know, you can't put a tool out, get people to buy it, rely on it, and then totally change what it looks like. It was really nice to use. Only ever use WordStar. I remember WordStar. The little handle underneath and the legs on the back, you could raise it up. Those were the days, weren't they? The keyboard does look amazing. That actually looks like my Amiga keyboard, which was fantastic to type on. I never did the box switch with that, my Amiga. You could replace it and you could take the motherboard out and put it into like a system box and then have a keyboard plugged into it. But I never actually did that. But the keyboard was amazing. It was a really good keyboard. I had my Amiga for quite a while. Probably about 6-7 years. I use WordPerfect on it, but I had used WordStar at work. There were 50-50 WordStar and WordPerfect at work. So you had to be pretty much up to speed on the pair of them. But WordStar, people loved WordStar. And then you had like the other faction that absolutely adored WordPerfect. Never the twain shall meet. This is a problem. We're all so polarised, aren't we? I don't mind what I write in anymore. Pretty much just use text. I was busy last night. I did all of the Maroon shows. Everything is up to date. It was alarming. Everything is totally, totally up to date. Only now I'm going to be one show behind, aren't I, if I don't get this one done. But I will get this one done. I will. Let's have a look at Notion and see if it's updated its little self. Or if it's still grumpy. Let's do a refresh. I never even got the it's been updated, but if you go to the What's New at Notion page, there was an update yesterday, late yesterday. So that's what they've done with it. Oh, come on. No, it's still broken. So the Notion app itself for me is broken. It's not showing inline icons and it's not, well, it's a bit weird. The inline icons where they're text or to-dos or bullet points, the inline icons are totally missing. But if it's a H1, 2 or 3, there's kind of a broken symbol as though it can't find the icon. But it's there because if you go through to it, the icon's on the actual page itself. So they're just being darn silly is what they're being. This is what I mean. They bring the app out. You use the app, you start to rely on it, and then it breaks. So tell me it's not just me that gets grumpy over things like this. Oh, an Amstrad. I had a mate who had an Amstrad. He was at university with me. And he got into this thing of, you know, everyone says you need a computer. So he got this computer, and it was an Amstrad, and he had no idea what to do with it. So I went down to spend a couple of weeks with him in the summer after our exams. He lived down in Tunbridge Wells, so it was quite a trip, probably about 300 miles away. So went down there and I said, you've got this computer, let's set this computer up. And he didn't have any software with it. So I think that was his problem. He drunk the Kool-Aid in terms of, get this computer. And there was the computer, but it didn't. Usually they came with like a games bundle or a productivity bundle, and this came with nothing. So he would have to have learnt how to program it for it to do anything. I've never actually programmed on an Amstrad before, but you know, basic was basic. Just a matter of like looking at the manual. And I had this thing saying, "Hello, what's your name?" So he put his name in, and then it said, "How old are you?" And he put that in, and then it would come back, and there was like conditional logic that would say, like, you know, you look older than that if somebody put in like I'm 10, or you're looking good for your age. And then his mum had a go. Oh, she fell in love with it. Told her she looked fabulous. She fell in love with it, and she said to him, "Why couldn't you have it doing things like that?" But it was weird back then to sell a computer with no bundle with it, because when you think about it, you wouldn't be doing anything with it, would you? And he wasn't. He had no idea how to code or program anything like that. His skills lay elsewhere. He actually worked at the Land Registry, so that's where his skill set was. It certainly wasn't within programming computers. Anyway, what else is new today? I did see a few bits and pieces. I saw a playlist called Dub Dub Jams and thought, you know what, probably that's not for your age set. Move along, nothing to see. What else did I say? Oh, loads of stuff about Apple TV and all the things coming to it, the programmes, etc. And I thought, I looked at them and I thought, no. Again, nothing to see. Move along. Which is sad in a way, but what else was there? There was just loads on Apple TV. And it was TV things. Sounds like the beaters are fairly stable. Yeah, at the moment. Bring out the next one. That'll get you. Kim, fabulous. Yay. That's two of us. They've got to make it an option, surely. Because otherwise, there's no point in saying they're in line. In line to me means in line, not overtly drawing attention to them. So with a bit of luck... Fabulous. More people that do that, the better. I just don't like the arrows. Not enjoying that at all. Oh, Apple did buy a company today, or they announced they bought it today, called Fleet Smith. Anybody see that? It is basically an enterprise security company. So they have management and security services. So you can install that and then oversee a fleet of Apple products. So maybe they're thinking of rolling something out like that. But if they do, they'll probably be charging an absolute fortune for it. I'm assuming they're the ones she's talking about, Paul. They're the ones I'm talking about. They weren't there before. You had an option before. If you wanted to see an arrow like that, you copied the link to the page and pasted it in, and you got that big arrow. But the other way of doing it was saying at and then putting the page name, and that gave you an inline link, which had no indication, no arrows, no nothing. It was just neatly underlined and it looked beautiful. And now, if you can imagine having sort of a list of 10 links to other pages, all you can see is arrow, 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 arrow. It's horrible. I haven't even dared to look. Go on, I'll go and have a look. I haven't even dared to look at the MacBytes 2.0 page. I'm already disgusted with what it looks like on the week at MacBytes headquarters. But I created a dashboard and we called it MacBytes 2.0. Because Mike wasn't using MacBytes 1.0. So I thought I'll tempt the swine into it by calling it MacBytes 2.0, and I did. That is a series of links. It's a dashboard. So there's links, 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 links. So there's just going to be arrow, arrow, arrow. You see, I wasn't quite so blunt, was I, Kim? I said, surely I'm not going to have to put up with these permanently. I sounded like the Queen. My second one will be far more to the point, I can assure you. Right, let's have a look at this one. Oh, this is crazy beans. On this page, I've got no arrows. The links are fine. Maybe they're rolling it back as we speak. Maybe I put them in as page links, but then if I did, they would have had... I don't know what they're doing. I give up with them. I do not know what they're doing. Everything is changing as I'm looking at it, which is even more annoying. They have made another change that you may notice. It's not as in your face as that change. The other change is when you put a database in a disclosure triangle, it used to indent it and now it doesn't. But what it does do is put a scrolling bar horizontally, even if it doesn't need it. So that then looks ugly as well. Not good. I'm loving this. You didn't find a way to remove them. Know about that option? Didn't use them for my dashboard. Ah, well, we did and we liked it. Oh, I'm loving that, Kim. Loving that. Straightforward and to the point. I shall get Mike to send another one when he comes in. Let's get them inundated with all bad news about the arrows. And then maybe they'll deign to reply to me. Just saying. I think with something like that, you know, they're going back and answering the praise, but they're not saying anything to me when I'm saying, you know, this doesn't look like it looked before. Is it ever going to look like that again? And I'm not being told anything. So that's just rude. Downright rude. But that's what these companies are like, isn't it? What can I say? Oh, I am dying here. I am dying. Where are we up to now? Oh, we're still at 94, 96, something like that. I dread to think how Mike's doing. I think his webinar's going on till 20 to 9. It's a long one tonight. We've not allowed Lola out for a walk. The pavements are absolutely red hot. So I've said leave it till later and let's see if we can get it any cooler for her. We don't want her expiring through with heat stroke or anything like that. Absolutely not. So, what else did I spot today? Is the sun down yet where we are? No, not really. It was the longest day of the year 3 days ago. So we're heading off now into autumn, but it won't really get cool in the evenings. Probably till the middle of September. So right now, it's as warm as it was at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Today and tomorrow are supposed to be the hottest days of the year. So yesterday was the hottest day of the year so far. Today broke that record. And tomorrow they're talking about it being 32 degrees, which is in the 90s. So tomorrow is going to be hell on earth, I would imagine. Then they're saying it's going to, that the thunder's going to come. But to be honest, we had all of that last week and it didn't cool it down that much. So I think Sunday, Monday will be fairly cool and it'll be raining. But we've got to get through tomorrow first. And if tomorrow is going to be another 6 degrees warmer than today, ugh. Turn on the fan, we'll cope with the sound. I'm wondering, it's side on with the microphone. I'm wondering if we could get it to another location where it's behind the microphone. Because the microphones that we've got have got rear rejection. So basically, noise behind it, it isn't supposed to pick up. I mean, it will, obviously, if it's loud enough. But if it's a fan, maybe not. Maybe not. We could just do with it. Like, if it was cool overnight, you could leave the windows open and then try and keep that cool in. But it is quite strange because the room that we're in, the office, the fan's on the floor at the moment. It's to my left-hand side, just behind me. There's no way it would go on a desk. No way. And to be behind my microphone, it would be in front of Mike's. So, yeah, not the best. This is when you don't want to be locked in a studio recording videos for a living. We could put air conditioning in, but obviously that wouldn't help with the recording, would it? Because then we'd have the noise of the air conditioning. So it's a matter of working out the handful of days where it is this hot in the year and basically doing something else like planning videos and courses. And another trick is to record it overnight, which I did a few years ago, 2014. I had two courses to do and I did one in February. And I did one in May, and the May was just boiling hot. That was the year Mayer died, and I knew he was going downhill, and I wanted to get this course out the door so I could spend his last few weeks with him every waking second, and I did. So in the May, I recorded, but I recorded at like 3 a.m, and it was a little bit better, but it's evil. Exactly. I love to work through the night. Sometimes at night there is a little bit of a breeze. Mike gets up about 5 o'clock, so he has a couple of hours when it's reasonably, well, it's not boiling warm, but once you get to 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, you can't breathe. And there is just no breeze. No breeze at all. So you've got the window open, but it's doing no good. Whereas if you get to like 2 o'clock in the morning and there's a bit of a breeze, then it does cool it down fractionally. Is that the one with the digital motor on and off? If you mean the fan. The fan has 4 settings. Off, and then 1, 2, and 3. Bizarre thing with the fan is, instead of 1 being next to 0, you have to take it all the way over to get to 1. And then you bring it back to 2, and then 3. So 3 is actually next to off. It's quite bizarre. But it is a very, very good fan. I mean, it's still, to be honest, just wafting warm air around. But at least it's doing it in a kind of... It's that powerful, it feels cool. The other trick I've got is I have something called Body and Face Cooling Mist. And what it is a tin of water that's cold. It comes out cold. A bit like compressed air, only instead of being air, it's water. So you shake this thing and then you spray it on your face and it cools you down. If you have a fan in front of you, and I've got a smaller fan in front of me, which is also off at the moment, the cool of the water and the cool of the fan work together and then you can just about cope. But I said to Mike today, Britain cannot cope with this heat. We're not built for it. There are big places that may have air conditioning. Problem with those is at the minute, they've got to reset them. Otherwise, they'll have a Legionnaires outbreak next. They tend to work on a water-based system and they need to be on virtually all the time to run this thing through them so they don't basically go mouldy. And obviously, at the moment, everywhere's been closed. So they're trying to gear it up to be ready for the 4th of July when everywhere opens. But they can't just turn it on and that'd be okay. They're going to have to drain the system. So, not good. That's what Dyson call their motor digital. Oh. Let's have a look. Thing with Dyson is, he's not popular in the UK, isn't Dyson? This is shockingly, but I think my machine's actually dead. Although, I can see that the audio's okay. The rest of my machine looks pretty dead. I'll do it on the iPad. See, this is why I have an iPad. Do tricks like that. Go and check stuff out when the machine decides it's had enough. And clearly, at the moment, it's had enough. Right, Dyson.com. Slash air treatment. Ooh. Right. Treatment. There we go. And is there a HTML on that? There is. Woohoo. Right, let's have a look. I have looked at their bladeless fans before. It purifies and treats the air you breathe. Yeah, I've looked at that round one. So the one, not the weird looking thing, bin 2.0 on the left, the one next to it. I didn't realise they purified as well as they went. So I had looked at one of those. Dyson, not one of my favourite companies. Not my favourite prices either. Ouch! Look at the price of them. No, this thing, this fan that I've got, I mean, obviously it's not as snazzy looking as that. And there's no cooling aspect to it. What we tend to do is put like ice blocks in front of it and then let the air go over those. But once we can open the doors again and once we can put the fans on again, we'll be all right. We'll just about manage. We've got to get through tomorrow. That's the number one concern. We've just got to get through tomorrow. Because we wouldn't want it that warm on Friday, would we? I think Friday is going to be cooler. Let me check. What are you saying about Friday? Thunderstorms and 25. So it could be better on Friday, like it's supposed to be another 5 degrees cooler on Saturday. But it's not going to be anything like as warm as it is tomorrow. So we'll just have to cross fingers. Otherwise, it could be the shortest after hours ever as the pair of us just expire. We'll see how that goes. Don't look at the prices too right. They did have one of those in the UK at Costco. And I think it's around £200. So I'm wondering which one it must have been. Probably that small circular one. The prices are utterly ridiculous, though. When you need interest-free credit on a fan, the world's gone crazy. The thing is, like I've said, the UK is just not up for it. We're not built for it. We're built for cold and rain. But yeah, $800 for a fan. Really? God, Apple will buy them next. The iFan, I can see it coming. It's only a matter of time. Only a matter of time. So, who's been following the sessions from WWDC? Apart from Paul, obviously, who has been. I've seen half of the State of the Union. And I'll probably catch up with the others. But at the moment, I'm keeping my eye on the summaries and the videos. I'm following what videos Paul's watching. There we go. They're listed in there. Let's have a look. It was going to be the ice slate, wasn't it? I remember back to 2010 when they announced it. It was the Macworld announcement. And it was, it's going to be the ice slate. It's going to be the ice slate. And then they came out and it was the iPad. And there was a lot of jokes going around at the time. Products of a lady nature, but in the UK, less so. We don't particularly do that in the UK. They're not pads in the UK. So it wasn't as bad here as it was in the States. But I know it was quite bad in the States, wasn't it? I'm looking at these sessions and they all seem to be incredibly technical, don't they? More so than usual. They used to have some with consumer-facing products. Getting the best out of the consumer-facing products. But most of these are all the technical end this year. Now, having said that, there's one on PhotoKit. They're basically pushing PhotoKit instead of Aperture, but it's not. It's not, and it never will be. I might have a look at some of them. I may have a look at some of them. I saw a video, Kim, but I don't know if it would have been that video. There was just lots of them at the time. And I said to Mike, whoa, is it really that much of a thing? And then we realised, yes, yes, it is. Which is quite strange because, you know, if it had been a UK company doing that, they might not have known. But they knew and they did it anyway. That was strange. That was very strange. Because they could have, we didn't even need the eye, did they, really? And you definitely wouldn't want Apple Pad? No, probably not. Probably not. I'll have to go and find that. I will go and find that video, Kim, and have a look at it. Well, we are still in WWDC week. I can't believe, like I said in the email, it's only Wednesday. It literally feels like we're on like day 15 of this week. iTab. Yeah, that would have worked. Yeah. There's our task for today. Let's come up with an alternative name for the iPad that actually works. That's snazzy. They could have done iTab as in iTablet, couldn't they? Yeah, that would have worked. Maybe they couldn't because somebody else had it. Nobody else wanted iPad. Unsurprisingly, given what we now know. But yeah, it might have done. There you go. That's your task for today. I am going to head off now. I can hear the dog barking. And she's going to need to be taken into the garden because Mike is still in his webinar. So, you all joining me again tomorrow. Mike will be back tomorrow. He did have a webinar tomorrow, but it's been cancelled. So we have the pleasure of Mike being with us tomorrow. He can share all his pain with them, listening to me talking on about Notion. Not pleased with Notion. But the more, if you are bothered by this with Notion, make sure that you write to Notion as well. The more complaints they get, the more chance they'll put it back to where it was before and everything will be fine again. So let's all do that. Let's all decamp and go and annoy Notion. That would work. So for the moment, for today, it's good night from me. I will say good night to Mike. I will pass on your regards to him and we'll both see you tomorrow. Stay safe, guys.